Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to the number one,
baby,
biggest podcast,
Super Bowl edition in HD.
Super Bowl edition number two. This is our second Super Bowl preview. It's the second time we've ever previewed any game.
Can you imagine being a Bengals fan and having a Bengals podcast and having a Super Bowl edition? Can we just appreciate the moment, please?
We're doing it right now. I'm imagining it in real time.
Yeah, no reason to imagine. But
am I dreaming? I still feel like I'm dreaming.
Yes. Well, I don't know. I think everything is going according as planned. You know, I thought this was all going to happen. I said it. And the Bengals are here and they're doing what they're supposed to do. And I think this is going to be the norm from here on out. So get used to it. But, you know, a lot of people are like, hey, where do I watch the Super Bowl? You know, I want to see, you know, I want to get all the real-time stats. I want to interact with the players, right? I want a virtual reality experience for the Super Bowl. Well, you can do it on Brinks.tv. They have exclusive rights to the Super Bowl. You can watch on Brinks.tv.
That doesn't sound true. I would be very surprised. Now, I'm a big fan of Brinks TV.
Of course, he's not saying anything. So
I like to watch their special programming and all of that. I am a fan, but I do not think they have rights to this major event.
Well, they have rights to this show. I mean, it can't be that many more people watching Super Bowl. But
well, this is the Super Bowl of sports podcasts, if that's what you mean.
Brinks.tv, if you watch there, they have so many amazing shows, Courtney. I mean, they're just looking at some of the ones that you told me about before we started. And there is one called, hold on. Bald Winning. It is hosted by Stephen Baldwin. It is about how to win at life while being a Baldwin.
No, he's not one at life. He is a Baldwin, but he's actually one of the most contemptible and disliked Baldwins.
I don't know about that.
And that's odd considering that
he's very active in the community, has a lot of strong opinions. But look, guys, bengalspicks.app.link/e/DHS, that is still going on. You can still win tickets to Bengals games. You can win signed merch. I'm not even kidding. You can win all sorts of amazing stuff.
And remember that if you don't use our link,
yes,
Russian spyware automatically comes on your computer. There is no other way to download this link and to access BengalsPicks.com than to use /DHS.
But look,
DHS,
you just go there. I went there and I just, you know, you guess how many receptions Tyler Boyd's going to get, you know, how many yards Joe Burrow going to pass.
How many think he's going to get?
I said 6 to 8.
Okay, you know, that sounds about
68?
Right.
Yes.
That's a lot.
6 to 8, yes. And look, guys, we've been doing this show for a while. We have. Our favorite guest of all time.
Yeah.
Yes.
The most entertaining, liveliest, hardcore Bengals fan. He tells
SNL alum. Don't forget.
SNL alum.
Comedian. Newly married.
That's right.
Good singer.
Absolutely. He has so many albums. I love his albums. And he is Luke the Machine Null. Welcome to the show, Luke.
Oh, yeah. I'm a machine. You're a machine. Everybody's a machine. Whoa, look at the bling.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. I've been working on it. These are real. It's real tiger fur. These are made out of.
Well, I cannot support that. But
yeah, you shouldn't have said that.
I can't support that. But I do support your marriage.
No, they were babies. So they were babies.
Well, that makes it worse.
Thank you guys so much. Guys, I got to say, nice level up with the intro and everything. I miss the good old days when you guys were still illustrations.
Right. We've really taken it up a notch. I mean, it takes a lot to be number one. You know, Joe Burrow has taught us that lesson. You got to up your game.
Yeah. I mean, look, there are expectations. People, you know, the team spent money. They bought those tigers, the fire-breathing tigers that, you know, have intimidated so many opponents over the past few months. And we invested in our show, too.
We have, but it really does. I really want to be clear that this is the cheapest man alive. I was reading an article the other day about how someone was complaining that they force people to stand up in retail because when they sit down, the cashier would sit down, it looks like they're lazy. Yeah. And I thought of me and John and how we always have. Have you seen the intro? You saw the intro around the treadmills? That's because Daddy makes us be on a treadmill when we write so we don't get lazy. This man is an uber capitalist.
I haven't felt my calves in 6 years.
Yeah.
It's for the best. It's, you know, doing it to breed a culture of excellence. Yeah.
He's breeding something.
Yeah. He's breeding hatred.
Well, you will thank me later. It is. You know, yes. And I...
Are we losing Daddy? I feel like Daddy is glitching from...
I'm certainly losing him.
He probably didn't pay his internet bill.
Or you guys stopped running on the treadmill that powers it.
That's probably what happened. So, Luke, you're in LA.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
I am indeed.
What's the vibe in LA? We've seen the clips of Cincinnati and how crazy everybody's getting. We've seen the parades. Are LA people? I live in Malibu. I don't leave the house. I'm planning to go to the game, but I try not to leave the house because, you know, paparazzi and all that. So tell me, what's the vibe on the streets outside of my house?
I'll tell you what. So I've now lived here for two LA Super Bowls. I was here in 2018 when the Rams went, right? Last time. Yeah. And you would never know that they even had a football team, let alone that they were in the Super Bowl. Right. This year, I feel like there's a little bit more hype around it. I feel like the Rams have had a little bit more time to gestate in the city. Still, though, for the most part, they don't care.
Right.
If for some reason the Chargers ever make it, and like, let's not wish that on anyone,
that'd be odd.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. LA will just be hearing about that team for the first time. They'll be like, whoa. We have that. They do not care at all about the Chargers.
They don't care. I mean, I know they love the Lakers out there, but I feel like it's not so much of a football city, which would indicate that the Bengals deserve to win, really.
Well, let us talk about our players. Yeah, let us talk about our players over there in Los Angeles. The B-boys, as they're calling them, they get around. They were all around UCLA. People were taking the pepperonis, were taking pictures of them all over the place. And really,
who are the B-boys?
They is the Bengals. They wear the B.
We watched them all year.
Yeah.
Oh, the Bengals. And, okay.
Yes, that's them.
Oh, I got you. And I've never heard that term.
But here's a serious question for John.
This logo is better, right?
That logo has been blacklisted. It is not permissible.
Yeah.
Anymore. But John,
yeah, right.
I have a question for you, Mr. Sheeran. The Bengals have They played some ugly games, down to the wire games, defensive battles, not a lot of offensive fireworks. And all the games, correct me if I'm wrong, but in pretty, you know, cold weather, you know, wintry weather. And now they're in LA and it's that sun and, you know, and it's in, and it's a different vibe.
Vitamin D.
All of that stuff. Do you think that environment, playing in a different environment now, you know, not practicing, because there's a very strategic move to not have an indoor facility so that the wintry conditions, so that they can taste the ice. Like I always ask John, I tell him, you know, I tell him to go research outside because it'll harden him up.
Well, you believe that in the winters that it should be cold and in the summer that it should be hot because you don't like to pay.
But yeah, it's part of the prehistoric training regimen. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So John, what do you think? Do you think playing in summery conditions now will affect their playoff kind of momentum?
Yes. I will say yes, because like you said, they played outdoors for three straight games. I don't know if it was that cold in Kansas City, but it's the middle of nowhere in Kansas in late January, so it's not exactly warm. They've spent the past couple days now getting acclimated to Los Angeles weather. I think it's like a heat advisory out there, which is crazy for being early February. It's going to be in a dome, though. It's a controlled environment. Joe Burrow's played two games in his career with the Bengals in the dome against the Colts in 2020 and against the Lions in this past season. He's done well both times. Like, maybe that is what is the missing piece. If we're still waiting for offensive explosion, fireworks on offense, maybe playing in better conditions, get some more controlled atmosphere, and just more consistency and stability. But what's important now is that they're practicing in that type of weather. They practiced indoors in Cincinnati when there was an ice storm happening, so they've had no incursions, no delays, nothing that was stopping them from getting the work they need to get in. And that's the most important thing. They're getting in work now. They're getting acclimated to the time change and everything. That's a disadvantage because the Rams are practicing in their own facility. They don't have to travel anywhere. So the Bengals are just catching up, and I think they'll be fine.
Well, as a QB coach, that usually the challenge for a QB is actually cold weather with the hands getting cold. It's linemen who tend to be a little heavier who have a hard time with hot weather because they're wearing all the pads. So when it gets hot, but it's a controlled environment, as John says. So I think it's sort of a non-factor. I think we're going to see.
I love the controlled environment. If I may, you know, interject.
That's
here.
Not what they mean.
I like the fact that, you know, you can't just say anything. You can't just play any way you like.
No.
I knew where you were going.
Publish any books that you like because it's a controlled environment.
They're not talking. They don't
the actual the actual climate, not the societal climate.
They can control the climate now. That is amazing. See, in the old days, you couldn't do that. So that is advanced controlled environment. I
knew you were going there, and it is
love
not
it, John.
That way.
They can control the weather. Wow. They can't. The climate, it's more of a a longer specific period of time. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. I love it, John. But no, what you're telling me, I was thinking the opposite direction. I was thinking, look, their offense is not taking off in the playoffs because of that offensive line and the nature of postseason games. And without that offense, they've been winning with kind of grit and, you know, with defensive games. I was thinking it might work to their disadvantage. You're telling me that, no, this could be the game that the offense goes off in the postseason, which I love that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I feel like you kind of set me up there, so I'll keep that in my notes.
Okay. John, let's talk about we talked about Aaron Donald versus our offensive line last week. Let's talk about another premier matchup, Ramsey versus Jamar Chase. There's been a lot of people talking about it. They're probably going to isolate Ramsey on Chase, at least some part of the game, right? And Jamar Chase, very physical receiver. Ramsey welcomes that kind of physicality. He likes that. I think he could have played safety. He played safety a little bit, right, in college. So Jamar Chase, I don't know, what is his biggest game this postseason? I don't think he's had a 100-yard game. He's had some big catches.
Yeah. No, he crossed 100 against the Raiders in the wild card round.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And that was the only time that he had any like downfield production. He had like a couple of receptions down the sideline, but a lot of it has been after the catch, and that's just defenses just adjusting to what Chase is good at. And this is the playoffs, right? You need to do everything in your power in preparation to handle what the other team does best. And what the Bengals did best in the regular season was throw bombs to Ja'Marr Chase. The thing about the Rams is that despite having Jalen Ramsey, who is arguably the best cornerback in the game, their safety play is not phenomenal. They play a lot of single high coverages, and sometimes Ramsey gets exposed on some of those deep routes. I don't know if it's tremendously wise for the Rams to just have Ramsey follow Ramsey. I don't know if it's wise to have him follow Chase around the entire field, because if there's one thing that Joe Burrow's good at, he's good at diagnosing what defenses are trying to do in the pre-snap phase and adjust his decisions going forward when the ball is snapped. So if he knows that Ramsey is currently always occupying Ja'Marr Chase, I think he's going to look at other matchups with T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, who, in my opinion, are just completely overmatching the Rams' other cornerbacks aside from Ramsey. So if it's just Ja'Marr Chase going back and forth with Ramsey and having a so-so day, that won't stop the Bengals' offense from being productive so long as Burrow is kept clean.
Yeah, I love
Luke,
it. And
Luke, I
just want to ask
shaking.
John real quick. Yeah, I want to ask something, John, real quick. How did he get the nickname Ramsey? Is it like, did he start as the mascot and then he moved up to cornerback? Or
no.
You don't know. Okay.
His name.
Yeah, Ramsey. Yeah, I love
it. You think that's his nickname? It's just a coincidence. Yeah.
That's actually his name.
He happens
to play for the Rams.
Oh, I see. Luke, please.
Yeah. Like if a guy with the name Brown played with the Browns, it doesn't mean he was named after the Browns. Luke, I saw you shaking your head yes at what John was saying. What do you think? What are your thoughts on Ja'Marr Chase?
He, like he was saying, I've seen that they've given up a lot of deep balls, but they've also, I think I read somewhere that they gave up the fourth most yards after catch as a secondary too. So I'm thinking, even if we're feeding Ja'Marr like we have been the previous two games, which is just 1 yard down the field and seeing if he can make anything happen, this secondary, that, you know, you can have some success doing that too. So, and I don't think they make it sound like Ramsey's not going to follow Ja'Marr around the field, but no matter where Ja'Marr is going to be, he's going to have probably a safety cloud on his side. So, but if we know anything about Ja'Marr, it's that he's not just a deep threat. He can, you know, washing machine you around at the line of scrimmage and make something happen. So, and that's going to happen.
It is the intangibles. It is the intangibles with Ja'Marr Chase that you have to be careful about, because he's much more than just a guy you throw deep to. He's a guy you can throw short to. He's a guy who takes pressure off of our other excellent receivers. That's why I'm so excited about this offense, is because there's just so many options.
Yeah. But I mean, look, you know,
did you guys see that? Are we going to talk about Mixon? Did you guys see that insulting tweet about Mixon? What the heck was that about?
What was the guy's name? Please remind us. What did he say?
All right. Well, I can't remember the guy's name, but his football commentator dude on Twitter was saying that Joe Mixon's success is overblown and that you could put Perrien in and the team would be equally as good. And I was like, what games have you been watching? Mixon has been one of the keys to our success. And Mixon is going to show that guy up. Can we find out who that guy was so we can name him now, shame him after the game? I'm going to look at
it. John is on it, yes.
John's on it.
I thought you were talking about the tweet about how when the Benjis win, that Mixon will be the highest paid running back to have ever won a Super Bowl, which that's kind of wild.
But it's well-deserved.
That is crazy.
I agree.
I mean, if anybody proved that he deserved every penny, it was Joe Mixon. I mean, he had a lovely year. He did an excellent job.
Yeah.
I don't know what else you want.
We have like
number three in the league, right? Isn't he number three in the entire NFL? I mean, what do you want, this you want from the guy?
Very good. But John, so, let us move to along the lines and maybe we can talk about the O-line, D-line matchups. So you talked about if they can keep Joe Burrow clean. Now, let's just emphasize, it's not just about, you know, the sacks and the hits. It's also about the plays that aren't sacks and hits. You know, if sometimes you get into these ruts where you even when you're not getting hit, you're not getting sacked, you're playing a different type of offense. You're not looking down the field because the opportunity is not there. You have to switch to kind of, you know, the quick outs or whatever it is. And so they might, you know, the pressure might be such, what I'm saying is he might, you know, not be kept clean, but he also might not have any opportunities to go downfield. So how do you see that playing out? Is he going to, because, you know, against Tennessee, he got sacked 9 times, but he has still made some big plays downfield. you know?
Yeah, and he somehow managed 350 yards in that game, which is nothing short of remarkable considering what happened. The Rams, unfortunately, also utilize a lot of twists and stunts like the Titans do, and the Rams don't really blitz that much because they don't have to. They have three pass rushers with at least 10 sacks on the season. Von Miller looks like the old Von Miller that he was with the Denver Broncos. Leonard Floyd is no scrub coming off the other side. It's just that you know that they're going to put attention to Aaron Donald, and they're going to slide protect towards Aaron Donald to make sure that he doesn't have a one-on-one opportunity. And naturally, that means putting more attention to the side where Von Miller is, because Von Miller typically goes next to Aaron Donald. In this situation, though, like, the Bengals love to go out of empty. They love to have five receiving options for Burrow to have, because they know that Burrow can make those decisions pretty quickly after the snap to get the ball out, because you need that to happen when you only have five blockers and empty protection. I don't know how many times they can do that in this game, because even on some of those plays that you were mentioning where it's the ball's designed to get out quickly against certain coverages, the Rams can still get home quicker than the average pass rush. And I know that the Bengals have played a lot of great pass rushing units this season, and they've managed to overcome it, but this is la creme la creme. This is the best of the best, and this is the ultimate test for Burrow to negate a dominant pass rush. So I don't know how many times they can go in empty. I think they're going to have to utilize a lot of chip blocks from Uzama before he reaches out or goes out to run his route, and obviously Mixon's going to be involved in that as well. It's going to have to be a mix and bounce, and they're going to have to be really careful about when to take their shots down the field, because it has to come in situations where you know that the Rams aren't just going to pin their ears back and rush those lanes.
Now, Daddy, let me just real quickly hop in here and say that I read here what I was talking about earlier. So this is from Michael Salfino, who is he's from 538 Tops, the Athletic, editor of Bet Prep. And Michael Salfino has said, we have to accept Mixon is not a good running back. Journeyman Perrine has been just as good, if not slightly better.
Yeah. Well, this is what happens when you mix politics with the sports. You should stick to 538, whatever they do there, whatever they are, whatever.
This is what happens when you don't watch Bengals games. Yeah. This is what happens when you just read a bunch of stats and somehow try to make sense of it.
But Luke watches Bengals games, and he knows that Joe Mixon is very talented and whatnot. And I think that's an interesting topic with this game, Luke, because we've talked about how is Joe Burrow and the offensive line going to manage that pass rush, but is it completely out of the realm of possibility that they utilize Mixon in some of these early downs to just keep that defensive line on their heels? Because the Rams, for as good of a defense they are, they're not exactly dominant against the run.
I mean, you look at last game, they ran on first down, what, like, an insane amount. Like, I forget.
Almost every time.
Yeah, like almost every first down. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm watching this game. Like, how many times is Zach Taylor going to call a pitch play in the red zone for negative 2 yards? Where I'm like, when was the last time one of those pitch plays works? It feels like it never works. Where I'm like, I understand we're not trying to run directly at Aaron Donald, too. Like, I get that as well. But I mean, I think it is going to be like, can Mixon at least make them hesitate for a millisecond and think maybe they're going to run? You know what I mean? Like, you can't count Joe out. Like, I'm talking to Mixon, but I mean, I get whatever guy, like, P. Ryan has had some nice splash plays. He got us back in the game in the AFC Championship game. And I'll give him love for that forever. But he also was responsible for Joe's lone interception in that Tennessee game, too. I mean, he doinked right off his hands and gifted an INT to them and put them back in the game. So it's like, I don't know. You can't go in there saying like, oh, P. Ryan he's just as good. But it's like, I also think P. Ryan does get not enough love, but at the same time, yeah, you got to give Mixon some love. He's gonna make them at least hesitate, and he's a threat, and he's better than anyone the Rams have. I'm sorry, he just is.
Well, I mean, let's be honest, John. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe the running game could be a big factor here, but I mean, the Bengals, the way their running game works, and when they're effective running, it's usually the passing game that sets it up. It's later in the game. Like we saw Mixon finishing out against the Chiefs. He finished up, you know, he kind of came in at the end and he helped us, you know, get better field position.
He put the game away.
And, you know, early on, again, and I keep talking about the passers, John, you were talking about Aaron Donald, that, like, you know, going to have another man. I saw a stat that even when he's double teamed, Aaron Donald wins 25% of the time, I think, right?
Sure. So, but you're not going to just have him with one guy and lose as well. You need to do everything in your power to make to like limit those odds, away. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. John, what about, yeah, I mean, are there any sort of, I don't know. I mean, yeah. Well, we've talked enough about that. Let us move to the other side. So Andrew Whitworth, obviously, he's coming off an injury. Is he 100%? I don't know.
He practiced full today, so I think, yeah, he's going to be okay.
80% of Andrew Whitworth is still one of the greatest in the league.
That's like 6'4", 300 pounds instead of his full size, yeah.
I mean, the man is amazing. Let's be honest. Andrew Whitworth is an amazing, amazing guard.
And he's going up against Trey Hendrickson, our best pass rusher. We're not going to move Trey around to avoid Whitworth or anything.
I doubt that.
No.
Yeah. So,
Trey,
I mean,
Trey's going to get his. Like, as good as Whitworth is, and I'm not saying that Trey is like Aaron Bengals Donald have, level, but Trey's pretty relentless. Like, he'll get one.
Yeah. And yeah, Bengals have speed and maneuverability, and we can't forget that when it comes on the defensive side of the line.
BJ Hill has been a playmaker the whole season and in the postseason. I wouldn't be surprised if BJ Hill gets a sack, you know. And really, I am hoping we just have one big defensive play early, and we rattle Matt Stafford. That will change the entire dynamic of the game.
He's not that easily rattled.
He makes it up.
Even if he gets sacked.
Yeah,
he's led the league in pick sixes 2 years in a row, by the way. That's 7 pick sixes over the last 2 years.
But I think this goes both ways, though, because Sean McVay, who's now Matthew Stafford's play caller, he does a great job of designing opening game scripts to make sure that Stafford is not really putting the ball in harm's way. If those mistakes are going to come, I think they're going to come later in the game when it goes off script, right? And then Lou Anarumo has time to make adjustments based off what McVay is doing. You got to understand, like, the Rams' offensive line, it's solid, but a lot of it is propped up by the fact that they design their play-action passing game so well. They disguise some of their play-action passes with the same concepts that they run out of, and it just nullifies the pass rush really, really well. So Hendrickson, when he has those true pass rushing opportunities where it's just a drop back situation, that's when he needs to get to Whitworth, because they're going to play action to slow down the Bengals front four, and that's allows Stafford to make some of those easy decisions early in the game. If there's going to be turnover worthy throws, I think it's going to happen later in the game.
Man, I think it all comes down to
whether we can shut down the run like we did in Tennessee early on, because Kansas City was gashing the Bengals defense in the first half. They were busting us for like six yards a carry, it felt like, every time they ran. So it was like, it's hard to ever think that you're going to be able to put any pressure on a guy when it's
isn't it crazy that Derrick Henry is like the most inept running back against the Bengals this postseason?
I mean, he was clearly not 100%, but I'm with you. Like that.
But John.
Yeah.
But they were force feeding him, John. I mean, like they gave him 20, and it was like, we don't want to expose Tannehill. And then, you know, people are like, wait a second, Tannehill, come on. He got them, you know, he won a couple of playoff games a couple of years ago. Just throw the ball. And he throws the ball, interception. Throw the ball, interception. You know, so it's like, really, when it's so clear that the quarterback is so limited, the running game, I mean, it was destined to fail. Now, this game, you're right, John. Normally, I would say Matt Stafford, you know, he's not going to go off a script. He's not going to, you know, have those breakdowns until later in the game. Let's say it's a shootout, or let's say they're behind, and he tries to be a hero because he's got that big arm. He's got that Texan gunslinger mentality, all that. But
he's a big boy. Florida,
I would say this, John. The Super Bowl is different. The Super Bowl we used to have, I mean, recently we've had a lot of close games. We used to have a lot of blowouts. We used to have a lot of games where quarterbacks who had MVP-like seasons looked terrible in the Super Bowl. It's a different game. You know, the nerves are different. One little mistake here, one little mistake there, and it can all unravel, you know?
We saw that before in 1980.
Couple stops.
Yeah, go ahead, Luke.
I was going to say, I mean, it's easy to, like you said, McVay's going to, he's going to have a good script to come out of the gate. This is the Super Bowl. If we have a big monster DJ Reader game like we saw in Tennessee, just early on, we put him in a couple third and longs. Matt Stafford loves to throw interceptions. It's like his favorite thing to do. He's gonna give the Bengals one. And I get what you're saying once they're off script, but you put him in third and long.
I mean, you
let our guys tee off. No one's given our D line any love at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, look, a tipped pass. And our
secondary's hot. They're hot.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, one tipped pass, one a screen where he's a little bit too antsy, something like that. We get something early. We get the interception early. I think, the game's going to work in our favor. But really, if we want to...
You know, the other thing that I think that's kind of funny is, like, I think a lot of the storyline that this is a Rams home game is a bit overblown.
A bit?
I mean, it's like, first of all, to me, I felt like the Bengals had way less of a shot of winning in Arrowhead against Kansas City. I really was like, I hope we win, but I'm not. Yeah, like everyone's saying, like, oh, this is another home game with the Rams. I'm like, have you looked at they barely had a home game against the 49ers. It was like 50% 49er fans. They in the Super Bowl, it's not even four fans. Like, I'm trying. Yeah. It costs an arm and a leg. It's going to be a bunch of corporate people who aren't really rooting for either side. You know, that's all it is. It's a the Super Bowl, as far as who's attending, is not for the fans. It's just not like you can't make that argument anymore. A lot of corporates, you know, tickets and deals and stuff that are given away, which is why I'm like, that gives the Bengals a little bit more of an edge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that it's going to be mostly Bengal fans. It's not going to be mostly anybody's fans.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Super Bowl fans.
Well, I mean, look, a lot of people are going to be forced to watch at home, and some people in other countries might be watching. And really, when you want to watch anything online, why not use NordVPN? Because NordVPN, as you know, it is the fastest VPN, and it gives you security, gives you safety, and you can access all sorts of information from other people's computers all over the world. No. You can watch all sorts of programs.
That's illegal.
And if you go to NordVPN, you will get a lot of money off. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I think it's like 70% off and a one month free when you use the promo code BELIEV, BLEAV. So, why not just watch it through that? Why would you go to the game? You can buy, like, I don't know, 5,000 years of NordVPN subscriptions for the price of a Super Bowl ticket. So, there is that.
Do they put DH Sports anywhere or something like this? Isn't this a promotion?
No, it's BELIEV, BLEAV. I don't know if we get any money. Yeah, we have to say it. Otherwise, Courtney will just end the show immediately.
Okay, but cut off your mic at least, which could be a good thing.
Look, we've been talking about what might happen, what might not happen. But there is somebody on the show who actually uses black magic and other sorcery to tell us what will happen in the future. And I'm talking about Dr. Hoji Lecter Kasmoji.
That's right.
And he's here with his hojoscope.
With my hojoscope. And, you know, I do. I like to use astrology, runes. I've used all these things. But every time I tried to think about this Super Bowl, I came up against like a black wall, a black hole. I couldn't figure out what's going to happen. And then I realized what was missing, which is, when was the last time the Bengals were in the Super Bowl? It was the 80s. It was the late 80s, but it was the 80s, 89. So what is the greatest cultural artifact of the 80s? Do you know, Luke?
Rubik's Cube would be my guess.
And I tried that and it didn't work. But the next greatest is the 80s movies. So I went through my catalog and I started to watch which 80s movies would tell me something about what might happen in this game. And when it came to the Bengals, no movie summarized what I think will happen more than The Best of Times, starring Robin Williams and Kurt Russell. Kurt Russell playing a high school sweetheart quarterback who throws almost the game-winning throw, but then gets his knee injured and is out for a while until, after high school, Robin Williams convinces him to replay the game, and guess what? They win. Well, who else has hurt his knee? Who else is coming back to win? Joe Burrow. Now, what about Stafford? What's his movie? Well, I went through the catalog more, and there's a movie that was from 1986. From 1984, before that, there was a movie called Beverly Hills Cop starring Eddie Murphy. It was supposed to be starring Sylvester Stallone, but actually Eddie Murphy ended up getting the role, and thank goodness he did, because it's a great film. What's the story? A man goes from Detroit to LA, just like Matthew Stafford has. And the movie was nominated for Best Screenplay at the Oscars. It was nominated for Best Score, Best Picture at the Golden Globe. It won none of those awards, meaning Matthew Stafford will win no Lombardi Trophy in this game. Put it all together, what do you get? My prediction.
Yeah, let's just get your prediction, please.
Yeah, let's go to predictions.
It was a long walk, but it was worth it.
It was worth it because I take you with me. You see, I take you with me through the signs that I'm reading here. And what I, putting all of this together, my prediction is that this is not going to be a close game. The Bengals are going to wallop the Rams. I know that sounds odd, but I believe it. I believe this offense is going to come out kicking and screaming and punching and fighting. And Joe Burrow, this man could play on Mars and he would not be at all affected by his surrounding. This man is, yes, this man really is, like that shirt says, he's the David Bowie. He is the, you know, he is the wild card of the NFL. And so I think it's going to be amazing. I think you're going to see amazing offense. I think that Stafford is a great quarterback, but I don't think he can rise to the occasion.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Luke, the truth, null. What is your prediction?
I'm honestly by the way,
what is your Super Bowl MVP? OG. Sorry, we didn't get his MVP, yeah.
You know,
OG. Yeah.
Jamar Chase.
Okay, sorry, Luke, please.
I'm not too far off what Hoji's going for. I think I'm taking the Benjis. Oh, I'm taking Joe Burrow, and we're gonna win at least by 7. I'm putting that into the ether right now. That's my prediction.
Okay,
love it.
Okay,
love it or leave it.
Yeah, Mr. John Sheeran. Let me just say something. John seems a little more tense than usual.
Why do you say that?
I sense it, John. I can sense it. And it is the magnitude of this game and how important it is.
Do you sense what I'm about to say in terms of predictions, too?
I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah?
Go ahead and say it, and I'll tell you if it was what I was thinking. Okay.
Time and time again, Joe Burrow has led teams in must-win situations to victories, whether it be ugly, unpleasant, or straight domination. We've seen this now for 3 years, going back to LSU. It has been the clashing philosophy between what the Bengals normally do and what Joe Burrow is now accustomed to doing. And so far, thus far, it's been the Joe Burrow side dominating the perceptions and the narratives of the Bengals. And that has ultimately kind of overpowered me in terms of predicting what they do in these situations. Now, in this playoff run, I thought that they were going to beat the Raiders. I didn't predict them to beat the Raiders, though. I thought that they had a good chance against the Titans. I didn't predict them to beat the Titans. I didn't think that they were going to beat the Chiefs. And they beat the Chiefs in a very similar way that they beat the Chiefs back in Week 17. I'm done doubting Joe Burrow and the Bengals in these types of situations. I know it's the Super Bowl. I know it's the most talented defensive line in the NFL right now. And I know this is, it can't get any bigger than this. And everything is culminating and building towards just the whole story and the legend of Joe Burrow. And maybe it will be too big. Maybe this is the one time that he falters and the Bengals don't get it done. I'm not going to pick against them in the Super Bowl. I didn't come on here to say that the Rams are going to win. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be kind of low scoring, actually. I don't think the over is going to hit. But I'm done predicting against Joe Burrow and the Bengals. I'm going to say the Bengals win 20-17.
Wow, John.
No more concern about the jinx then.
What jinx?
That John always...
Do you think Joe Burrow and everything that he is and everything that he does and just the team in general, the way that they're composed mentally and just their aura, do you think that jinxes have any power over them at all? Because I'm done believing that.
Yeah. Well, Hoji does, and he has some very strange kind of
rituals.
Webs and different... Yeah,
I'll take care of it. Don't worry, John. I'll take care of it. I'll break the jinx.
Joe is too magic. You're right. You can't bet against him. You can't bet against him right now. He's too hot.
Yeah.
Destiny quest.
Now I'm kind of ashamed to give my prediction.
Oh, no.
Because I have picked the Bengals for how many weeks in a row, guys? I think like 6 or 8 weeks, and I've only been wrong like once or twice.
Yeah.
And once, I think it was only wrong once, and I picked them many, many times because they've been winning a lot. But you look
already
at this game.
Already, how dare you? Already, how dare you?
Well, no, I mean, you look at this game, okay? And you look at, we've been struggling with offense the whole postseason. And now, you know, I just think about it. I think about Aaron Donald and Von Miller, like John said, next to him. Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP Von Miller, made some of the biggest plays in that. He wasn't just Super Bowl MVP, he was postseason MVP, right? He had, what, 2-3 sacks of Tom Brady, interception. I mean, he was incredible.
That was Cam Newton.
No, no, the AFC Championship game.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah. And then in the Super Bowl, too. But I'm saying it was the whole postseason. And he's heating up again. Von.
Oh, no.
I think Von might have sacked Daddy-O again.
Always been one of the top players in my mind.
Daddy-O, you're going to have to repeat that. You said Von Miller has.
What's going on?
Yeah, go ahead. Von Miller has.
Okay.
Yeah, we're with you.
Well, he's always been one of the top defensive players in my mind. You know, I mean, I know he's had a kind of a low point, but I don't think he was motivated. You know, he had some injuries and then lack of motivation. And then the other guys that that we mentioned.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, the other guys, the Leonard Floyd, and there's one more guy that had like almost double-digit sacks. It's a lot, you know? And you know, you look at that, and you look at the way offensive line's been performing. Let me mention, by the way, Frank Pollock was very confident. They asked him about this matchup, and he's like, I'm sick of this matchup. I don't like this narrative. Fake news. He basically said fake news. I don't know if you use that word.
You're the only one who says that.
No, but John, you saw that, right? You saw what he said, Frank Pollock. He's like, I don't want to hear about this anymore. They say one thing, I say something else, right? So I like his confidence, but it is a bad matchup for a team that is heating up. They turned on, you know, They really turned it up against the 49ers late in the game. They're like, hey, we got to win this game. And the defense just took over. And on the other side of the ball.
I think the amount of sacks is, I mean, we've seen that Joe can overcome an insane amount of sacks. I agree. You're probably going to need more than 19 points to beat this Rams team, I bet, which is what we won with against the Titans. But I think the big thing is if we can just hold on to the ball, Joe, as long as we're not giving up strip sacks, that's what loses you the game. You know what I mean? Like, Joe's going to get sacked a little bit. Can he hold on to the ball?
I'm wondering if the offense can take off. That's my thing. Can the offense get going? Because, look, the play calling against the Chiefs, let's be honest, we were very fortunate to win that game. Like you said, it was 60, 70% runs, and they were not effective runs early on. And Joe just kept finding a way to pick up third and long. And that doesn't happen normally. That was a very strange game. I think that was almost as strange as the Titans win in the way that we won. So that's the thing, is the offense doesn't pick up. We have a few three and outs early on, right? Cooper Kupp maybe gets a big reception. They get, you know, field goal range, touchdown range. We get behind, then what? Then all of a sudden that defense is going to, you know, they're going to get more aggressive. So, you know, you look at that. On the other side, look, you have, like John said, you have Joe Burrow, and he gets it done. He's been getting it done. He gets his team pumped up. But you put those, you know, two different kind of approaches. You look at them side by side, and ultimately, I have to say, I think that Los Angeles will be the winner. That is my prediction. And the final score will be 31-20 Bengals. That's my prediction.
Now, how does that make Los Angeles the winner?
Bengals.
Oh, because Los Angeles will be witnesses to Joe Burrow's first Super Bowl, and it is going to be a great thing for the city, and the people of Los Angeles are going to have something to really take pride in. It's going to be a very joyous occasion, one of the biggest events in Los Angeles history.
You basically said Luke's going to be the winner then.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean the first half, I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
So Los Angeles, the city, wins because they're hosting the Super Bowl in which Los Angeles, the team, loses, but Joe Burrow wins.
I thought that was obvious. Yes, exactly. So, look, let's be honest. You have rubbed elbows with a lot of millionaires and billionaires over the years in your entertainment
career.
Such as me. Yes.
Mostly OG, yeah.
And so we're hoping to rub some of that on us. And we have a lot of promotions to talk about here, Luke. I don't know if we can even get through all of them. First of all, if you're looking to buy a Super Bowl ticket, you go to ticketiq.com, use the promo code DH Sports, and no fees. You will pay no fees, and you'll get $150 off. If I'm not mistaken, you pay no fees, $150 off. That means they give you $150 to go to the Super Bowl, and that is amazing. So you get the best deals on the internet at TicketIQ. Look at this. Look at the Super Bowl, the tickets. They're going down fast, 15%. How many more years before they're affordable, John? If they go down 15% a day. That is crazy.
Still messed up. Still messed up.
Yeah. Courtney, can we get the next slide? Now, you look at the trend here. Wow, that is incredible. I don't understand. There's so many numbers. But you can, I can see that it's getting cheaper. And
famously, the best time to buy Super Bowl tickets is 3 days before the game. That's when they're at their lowest. Yeah.
Yes. And the last slide, if you will, Courtney. Yeah, and they have a finance plan. So if you want to go to the Super Bowl for 12 months, it's only $830 a month. That is nothing. It's basically free. $830 a month, you can for 1 year, you know? That is the price of like a coffee, as they say, and in Los Angeles.
What kind of coffee would that be? Yeah. I mean,
and you buy now, you pay later on TicketIQ and use the promo code DH Sports. Okay, John, we also have the Patreon. You can go become a patron. We have a new patron, and yes, we have a new patron for in the $1 tier, and you can also join on Google. These are all the different things you can do, Luke, to support the show, Number One Bengals podcast, that is going to be pretty soon the show about the number one team in the entire NFL.
But we're ending on kind of a sad note here, sad music. You're talking about the fact that most people cannot afford to go to the Super Bowl. Don't forget, let's be honest, the best seat in the house is in front of your TV. I mean, you're going to watch it. You can scream without being judged when Joe Burrow scores on your HD LED screen. Enjoy this game, Bengals fans. You have earned it.
And when you have waited,
you have waited, Bengals fans. You have waited for 30 plus years. Your day has come. You've earned this. No team, no other team in the NFL, no other fan in the NFL has waited as long as you have. Enjoy this moment of yours. Really. Walk around with a smile and a Bengals cap and tilt your cap a little bit. Because you can be proud that we made it this far and that we have a real shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And if you use your TV, don't forget the promo code DH Sports.
Oh my gosh, you turn everything
still
into money.
Get $10. If that's what
Oh my lord.
Money. Okay. So that is all we have for Luke Null and Dr. Jilector Gismoji and John Smokey Robinson. Cheers.
Oh yeah.
I'm Daddy McDuke. We will see you after the Bengals are Super Bowl champions of the world. So long, sweetie. Bye.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.